I think that it fits with what we're saying about the unto him part of what Sam brought out earlier, that it's a necessity for every Christian to say, where is my heart, what is my heart attracted to? And the focus point for any Christian, no matter what Christian group that Christian may be identified with, is to focus on Christ. And I think we probably should say there may be many Christians, there are, I would say, many Christians identified with certain various Christian groups. They are outside the camp because Christ is prominent and preeminent in their heart. And it may be that there are certain practices that you or I might say, well, we seem to see a little differently, that there's other liberty or something like that from the scriptures. But there is no doubt, there are no doubt, Christian believers who are not in the camp, though we don't see them, we don't know them. And they're at the same, by the same token, an ecclesiastical position does not by default mean we are out of the camp. We need to also be going forth unto him. I was thinking of if we might apply something like the vessels to dishonor to somebody like Diotrephes in 3 John, who clearly had to be dealt with. And Gaius, who was receiving that letter, was essentially, not in these exact words, but essentially was told to, you know, have nothing to do with him. And Demetrius, instead, was pointed out as a faithful, godly believer. Spend time with him. You find those that are calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. And it's the heart attitude. I realize that there are principles on which should be acted upon from the scriptures. But even a principle can become part of the camp. It's not the principles that we're gathering to. It's Christ. And we don't want to gather to an ecclesiastical position. We don't want to gather to a tradition. We don't want to gather to a set of habits. We don't want to gather to a set of commentaries. We don't want to gather to a set of historical revivals of understanding of Christian teaching. We want to gather unto him. And if the scriptures say, let's learn about how the Christians met according to what the New Testament precepts and principles were, let's just put that into practice. Let's just put that into practice, and what does that look like when we make Christ, admissions in focus, at Mountain View Bible Camp this past summer, the question was, is Christ preeminent, or is he merely prominent? I thought it was a wonderful question. We want to make Christ preeminent, and when we do that, and we look at how the principles are presented in the scriptures, and we say, well, how should we put this into practice if Christ is the head? If Christ is the Lord, all of these things that are part of individual Christianity as the Lord and collective Christianity as the head of the church, his body, and so on, how do we put these things into practice? Well, let's find a way to do that in a manner that will make him preeminent. And some of the things that we have in the scriptures are simply, I was talking with somebody else who made this observation, the things we have in the New Testament scriptures are patterns for us to see that this was how the Lord Jesus was honored in the midst of believers. Other things are specific directions. Do this way. Do it this way. Don't do it that way. And when we put those into practice with the ultimate goal of having Christ preeminent, we will reach a God-honoring set of practices when we keep him prominent and preeminent in our hearts.
Could I make a suggestion at this point, brethren, that, and this, what is good, but we need to move on, I really think. We have some questions that we are locally exercised to address, if possible, before the end of our time together. So I'm urging the brethren to transition on a little bit. I think we did cover a bit of the first section in Acts 2:42 this morning about the different assembly meetings, I think, in Acts. I can just read that for, by way of just remembrance here. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, speaks about the way that they gathered early on, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And maybe somebody can just very briefly give us an overview of those meetings and what the purposes of those meetings really are. Although I'm sure we all pretty much know this, but I think it's a value. We said before that some people put the breaking of bread at a very on a high note, to the point where others ignore the other meetings. And I think we've already sort of talked a little bit about that.
Can you review what you said before? I wanted to get that again, John. About that very thing. I want to put it this way, though. It comes back to what you have expressed, that the supper or the breaking of bread comes over here. Ultimately, it comes over here. Mm-hmm. But if somebody is not in the good of the other meetings, they can never enter into the greatness of the supper. Never. Mm. What we said is that the teaching or the apostles' doctrine is the Bible reading. Let's bring it to our days. It's a Bible reading. And the Bible reading gives me the foundation of that fellowship we're talking about. What is the foundation? So many times we occupy ourselves. Well, give me that which is practical. And practical things are wonderful. But if I don't know the teaching, what am I supposed to put into practice?
Right.
So you have to know the foundation to make it practical in your life. The fellowship of being with one another as saints is the enjoyment of it. This is how we're going to spend eternity, brethren. We better get used to it. I mean, so many times, you know, I think one of the prominent brothers is to dwell above with the saints I love, it will be all glory. To dwell below with the saints I know, it's a different story. But you know what? Let's get used to that eternal mentality and enjoy the fellowship we're called into. Then the third part will be is the break of, that's the expression of it. That we are all part one with another. And then when it comes to the prayer is the maintenance of that fellowship. But I want to say this. If really brethren and young ones are not in the good of the prayer meeting, the Bible reading, and all these other meetings, they can never understand, Brother John, that the supper is the highest expression of the fellowship. Because it is. Why is it? Why is it the greatest? You see, it's like 1 Corinthians 11. You have faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is?
Love.
Because faith and hope will cease. Love will never cease. So what makes the breaking of bread? It's an occasion for the saints of God to come and worship. To remember and worship and to be ushered into the presence of the Father and worship. And that's an eternal portion. That's what makes it so great. Because listen, if you want to pray, that's the time to pray. Because in heaven, there's no more prayer for needs. You're not going to have any needs. You better pray from now. And you know what? The teaching and all the learning, it's going to cease. Because you know what? We're going to know. Up there, we're going to know. And all these things will come to an end. But one thing will never come to an end is the spirit of worship that flows into this blessed Savior and to the blessed Father. And but if the brethren are not in the good of it, of the other meetings, they will never come into the understanding and the discernment that this is really very precious to the heart of Christ and to the saints of God.
The other meetings would be the prophecy meeting of 1 Corinthians 14,
Amen.
Where two or three brothers led to speak a word of exhortation, a word of edification, a word of comfort. Two, at the most three, not four or five, or let the others judge. So you have the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, you have the prayer meeting, an assembly meeting, the Bible reading, you have the prophecy meeting, and there's another meeting which we don't like, and that's the meeting participant, 1 Corinthians 5, when we gather together in my name and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to do such and such and such and such. But that is an assembly meeting. Gospel is not an assembly meeting. Sunday school is not an assembly meeting. But certainly, I love Sunday school. I love the gospel. And I'm going to support those who are preaching the gospel and who have the Sunday school. So those are the meetings of the assembly.